Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today, we want to take a close look at verse 23 in the third chapter of the New Testament letter of 1 John. So for context, I'll begin by reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Okay, today we're taking a close look at verse 23 where the Apostle John says, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us." In the previous verses, John wrote about our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and about our communication with God, our prayers. In verse 22, John said, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." In that verse, verse 22, we saw the importance of obedience. John says, "We keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." So right there in that one verse, we quickly observed a couple of things. First, if we are to keep the commandments of God, well, we have to know something about God. That points to the study of the Word of God. We have to have some knowledge about the things of God if we are to keep His commandments. The second point is so important. John uses the words, "do what pleases Him." This speaks to living out in very practical ways what we know about God. It speaks to obedience. Intellectual knowledge is not enough. We have to put that knowledge into the daily practice of living. And of course, this is enormously real world for us today. Quite possibly, it may be that there has never been a time when we've had such great access to information concerning Jesus, the Bible, and the history of the Judeo-Christian faith. We have enormous amounts of information available to us at our fingertips, and we can order just about any kind of resource we want and have it delivered directly to our home in a matter of days. But most of us will also quickly observe that there are many problems in this world of ours. The problems seem to be growing exponentially. The Apostle John says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." Well, it can't get much plainer than that, my friend. That's about as straightforward and unambiguous as you can get. My friend, the problems we all face today, personally and socially, may, to a very large extent, be rooted in the fact that there's so little keeping and doing. At least it seems that way. We may have a lot of information. We may have acquired a substantial amount of intellectual sophistication on a wide range of subjects. But there's so little keeping and doing as it relates to biblical truth. In our times of frustration in day-to-day life, one of the questions we ought to be asking ourselves is, how am I doing, personally, in the area of keeping and doing? Other people may or may not have a disobedience problem, but let's think about our own selves. How are you doing in that area, my friend? How are you doing in the area of keeping the commands of God and doing what pleases God? Now, we always have to keep in mind that we don't keep and do the commands of God so that we might earn our salvation. We don't keep and do so that we are somehow finally acceptable to God and so that God will finally grant us forgiveness and eternal life. No, none of that. Eternal life is a result of God's grace alone. But the scriptures also call us to work out our salvation, which means that we apply our salvation to daily living. So the working out of our salvation involves the keeping and the doing. Okay, now, in verse 23, John says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." Now, it's interesting that in verse 22, John uses the word commandments, plural. And in verse 24, John uses the plural commandments. But sandwiched right there between those two verses in verse 23 is the word commandment, singular. That's interesting. John says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." Well, as Bible students know, there are many commands of God, plural. And of course, the apostle is well aware of that fact. But in verse 23, John writes what we could consider to be a creedal statement. It's a summary statement. It's a summary declaration, and the summary creedal declaration is this: believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. What a great statement. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Now, that's a pretty good way to summarize authentic Christianity, true biblical Christianity. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Of course, that statement needs to be unpacked. It's a very compressed statement. Each of those words is packed with tremendous meaning. Believe, name, Son, Jesus, Christ, love. Great words, powerful words, words that carry a tremendous amount of importance in the Christian worldview. So what's John up to here? John is gathering up several important points into one comprehensive commandment. God the Father's commandment is to believe in Jesus Christ and love like Jesus Christ. It's an all-encompassing creed. Believe in Jesus and love like Jesus. Of course, what we believe will affect how we act, and how we act will reflect what we believe. Now, another interesting point, believing in Christ, faith, and loving like Christ are not separate commandments. They're united. They can't be separated. Faith and love are united. We can't truly love one another without faith in Christ, nor can we truly believe in Christ if we do not love one another. And remember, all of this, all of Scripture for that matter, is from God's viewpoint. When we think about love, as Scripture uses the word, we're thinking about love in the way God thinks about love. Now, someone might say, "Well, I can love others and not be a believer in Jesus Christ." Okay, but that's a worldly type of love. I don't mean worldly in a disparaging way. I'm just pointing out that that type of love is rooted in human emotion and not the truth of God. It's a sentimental love. Sentimental kindness in general. And people can certainly be loving in a sentimental sense, and they can show kindness towards others and not be a believer in Jesus Christ. We appreciate those kind sentiments for sure, but we're thinking about something more here. We're trying to think about the world, eternity, God, and ourselves the way God thinks about these things. We're thinking about what God desires. We're thinking about what God loves. We're thinking about what God hates. We're trying to think and live in ways that are consistent with the ways of God. At this point in our study of 1 John, we're trying to understand love and faith from God's point of view. God calls us to love others in the way God wants us to love others. And the way God wants us to love others is through Jesus Christ. Our love of others is intimately bound up in our faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle John says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." In this one creedal statement, the apostle refutes those who would mistakenly think that all they need to do is believe in some information about Jesus, and then they can live any way they choose. John will have none of that. Faith is bound up with action. This statement also refutes those who would mistakenly think that all they need to do is to be a kind person, to simply serve and help others. John will not allow us to think that good deeds is all that God requires of us. Faith, my friend, is bound up with action. Next time, we'll continue to think about what it means to believe in Christ and to love like Christ. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Just a reminder that if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, you're welcome to join us for the Sunday morning worship service at Gate Tree Church in Danville. Service time info can be found at gatetreechurch.org. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.